You're listening to the Loyalty Minute, the show that helps you build better customer loyalty and more valuable user engagement with your host, Rob Gallo.
Welcome, loyal listeners, to another episode of the Loyalty Minute. I'm your host, Rob Gallo, and today I'm eager and excited to chat with Ryan Cote. Ryan is the Director of Digital Services and a partner at Ballantyne, a third-generation family-owned direct mail and digital marketing company. He's an expert on everything from lead generation to marketing strategy for small businesses and loves to geek out on technical marketing talk. He's definitely in the right place on this show then. So welcome to the show, Ryan. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, Rob. Yeah, super excited to be here.
Good. So for those listeners out there who don't know who you are or what you do, perhaps you could share a bit about your background and experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll start on a personal level. Live in New Jersey, 42 years old as we record this, married, three daughters, with just a plethora of activities from soccer to dance to rock climbing to gymnastics. So,
and working on number four, yeah?
Absolutely not. No, we weren't even working on number three, to be honest with you, but that's the way the cookie crumbles. But it keeps us busy. I'm very happy on a professional level. Work at Ballantyne, started 17 years ago there, started out doing marketing, and then we launched a digital division, which I spearheaded along with my other brother, Scott, and that's what I do now. We have the direct mail side and we have the digital marketing side. I spend all my time on the digital marketing side, doing sales, strategy, a little bit of everything. I love it. That's what I do.
So what does Ballantyne do for those who don't know?
Yeah, so we have two businesses. So we go back to the mid-60s, family owned, I'm third generation. So what we started off doing is print work, like brochures that you would print and ship to your office. And now we do direct mail. So we still print, but then we also now mail it, like the stuff you get in your mailbox, mostly for acquisition type work or fundraising. Mm-hmm. And then we have another division that's semi-new. It's a 55-year-old company, but the digital division is about 5 years old. And we do digital marketing. In-house, SEO, paid search, content, social, a lot of work in the industrial space, like manufacturers and industrial, like B2B, those types of clients. That's what we really, that's what we gravitate towards too. That's what we focus on in terms of getting new clients, like our own marketing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, direct mail and digital.
Cool. Yeah. I think there's a lot of, credibility in direct mail still, if it's a good, nice piece, because it's easy. Everybody could do regular mail. Email. It's a low barrier to entry. But the direct mail, if it's a nice, creative, engaging piece of mail, it gets people's attention. And you have their captive audience, too. They're not be able to click away because the mail is sitting in front of them. So that's one good thing. So the first question that I normally ask, at first, let me ask you, you're familiar with the show Jeopardy? Right.
I am very familiar. I don't watch it, but I'm familiar with it. I can tell you what shows we do watch, but not Jeopardy.
Okay. I know with three little kids, I'm sure it's probably some other interesting shows. But what we do is we try to answer the questions in the form of a story, so to say, where instead of just the generic answer, if you could relate it in some sort of story as what things mean to you, people take away a lot more context out of it. So the first question is, what does customer loyalty mean to you as a consumer, Ryan, mm-hmm. where, brands that you're into and why though, like what would a story be that would make you, make listeners understand why you like this brand?
I mean, the two brands that come to mind for me, at least the ones I'm loyal to, are Panera. I don't know if they have that in Florida. They probably do.
Sure.
Panera and Onnit. Have you heard of Onnit? They're a supplement company.
No.
Okay. So Panera, the reason there's a couple of reasons. It's like fast food, but fresh. And so I associate the brand with fresh, fast food. So I'm still getting that instant gratification, if you want to call it that. And the food is quality, it's healthy. And I've also now adapted it like every Saturday or Sunday, depending on the schedule of the sports and all that. We'll go there as a family and we'll go get Panera. And so now it's been intertwined into like the family dynamic. The sandwiches are good, the salads and all of that. And so I just, when I think of Panera, I just think of quality, fast, and, healthy, depending on what you choose, of course. Mm-hmm. Onnit, very similar, that's just for me, it's a supplement company and I take their multivitamin, which is like, it's a two daily, it's actually two packs a day, day and night, but it's got all these multivitamins and supplements in it. And it just makes it easy for me to get what I think my body needs. And I associate that brand with like a cool hip, it's a cool hip brand with cutting edge products, supplements that I trust. And so I just, the story there is that it's like, it's a habit now. Like it's, I have my lunch and I have my one pack. I have my, my dinner and I have my night pack. And it's really now intertwined into my daily routine where if I don't, if I forget to take the pack, I'm upset myself for some reason. So it's intertwined into my daily routines. So those are two brands that I really trust and like.
So if there was another company that did exactly what Onnit does, would you consider moving?
I don't think so, because they've got me emotionally now where I believe in the product. I very, very, very rarely get sick. And I don't know if it's because of that, but in my head, it's sort of because of that, the supplements. And so I just, I don't think I would change. I mean, I suppose something could pull me away, but it'd have to be something really different because I believe in the product. My association with the brand is very, you know, very high quality. And I believe in the products and it's part of my daily routine now. Like, so you think about it, you have, cause I intermittent fast. So lunch and dinner. So lunch, I have one pack, night dinner, I have the night pack. So now it's intertwined into my daily habit. And that's even harder to break now.
Yeah. So that's it. I mean, you know, people are generally creatures of habit. And once you get started in something, it's hard to break that habit. And, you know, positive or negative, that's just the way the human mind is wired. So let me ask you this, let's see if we can come up with a story that has happened to you that has either turned you onto a product or turned you off of a product or service or brand. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I could think of one. Does that be a big brand or can it be a?
Nope.
Okay. You know, we had work done on our house and, we did our normal thing where we looked through the Google reviews of trying to find a plumber and, we found one that had good reviews. They've been around for a long time and, you know, he came to do the work and we thought we were going to get him and we got some guy that was just basically learning on the job and completely messed up the whole work. We had him come to the house to like try to make it right. And it ended up just turning into an argument with him like for like a good 30 minutes. And it was like, and they were a pretty big brand in this area in terms of like plumbing services, been around for a long time, a lot of good reviews. And I was just really taken back by that, you know, that he wasn't willing to make it right and was very combative. And it really turned me off. So I actually thought about, maybe I'm just too much of a nice person, but I thought about leaving a bad review and I probably should have, but I ended up not because as a fellow small business owner, I just kind of put myself in his shoes and I was like, you know what, maybe it's not worth it. You know, I'm not going to give back what he was giving to me. So I decided not to, but it turned me off and I would never use him again. We found someone else, another brand, another plumbing company in the area, and they've been fantastic. And we've used them probably 6 or 7 times since then and referred them like crazy.
Yeah, that's good. So basically it comes down to service, the quality of it. I would say, yes. Right? The reason that you would be loyal to or disloyal to a particular brand or service is because of the way they treat you, right?
It becomes
emotional. So, oddly enough, on a side note, there's a guy down here who has a service. The name of his company is called Plumber Near Me. So because that's what you do. Everybody searches for a plumber near me. So he's got the name as Plumber Near Me LLC down here in West Palm Beach, Florida. He seems like a super nice guy. I didn't use him yet, but he was very helpful. But yeah, interesting. So let's turn the tables now and let's put on the digital marketing hat. So, or you know, for the stuff that you do when you're at work, you're dealing with mainly B2B companies that are out to expand their business with either other companies or other consumers. So, what are some of the issues that you have, at least in your business, of keeping a loyal customer? Like what are the pain points that you might come across that a customer stays with you or leaves you in, you know, because of the service you provide?
Yeah, that's a great question for our type of business, especially the digital marketing side, because it's all about expectations. You know, this the digital strategies, even though they happen quickly, it doesn't mean that the results happen quickly. And so for us, it's all about setting the expectations of here's what is probably going to happen. And if it doesn't work, here's what we're going to do. And so we've had to really learn to set the expectations during the sales process. And then also when they're a client as well. And also in the type of business that we're in, it's sort of like shiny object syndrome. There's, first of all, there's thousands of agencies that do digital marketing, and, you know, a lot more than that if you include the whole world. And everyone's got their own way of doing it, their own like secret sauce per se. And there's also tools that you can spend like $50 a month or $100 a month to dissect a website, and you can uncover anything wrong with any website and then use that as your lead in to try to get them to change. And so that's, you know, I think about like our typical client, if it's like a manufacturer or even a contractor, especially the contractors, they're just getting pounded with solicitations all the time. And so that's, you know, that's something we have to deal with. Do you want me to talk about how we deal with it?
Yeah. Like what's a particular story of where you had a customer or a potential customer that was on the fence and you turned him over, but then kept him through at least meeting or exceeding his expectations and servicing his needs?
Yeah. So we've got, so for us, it's communication. We have one contractor that we work with that we found out that they were thinking about leaving. And it's because he felt like we weren't communicating enough or visiting with him enough. Even though we were, he just wasn't fully in the loop. Like we met with one person there, he wasn't fully in the loop, but it showed me how communication is so key to retaining clients, especially in our business. And so as a result of, you know, it's like anything, you learn as you go through things and make mistakes. You know, we've learned to now put processes in place where we're communicating with clients on a regular basis, every 2 weeks, having a phone call, doing quarterly strategy reviews, and just trying to really over communicate with the client, make sure that they know that we're thinking about them and that we're, and that we are doing things for them, and just that constant reinforcement. Because it's that story with the client who was going to leave because he thought we weren't doing that we were forgetting it for, that we were forgetting about his business, which wasn't true. It's just what he thought. And so we had to correct that. And that showed me that how key communication is, especially in our business.
So it's more of a proactive outreach communication rather than reactive is what you're setting up now, scheduling specific calls with your team members and saying, make sure once a week or once every 2 weeks, you're calling this person, emailing them, letting them know where you stand and things like that. I think that's super smart, super smart. Because you can't wait for customers to put yourself in the other guy's shoes. He's running his business. He doesn't have time to think about, oh, well, you know, what's Ryan doing for me, right? Ryan should be reporting to him. Ryan and his team should be saying, hey, this is what we've got. This is where we're at. This is what we're projecting. Yeah, I can get it for sure.
Yeah, it's really I think about like when we first started the digital side of the business, it's funny how you think you're doing a good job in that current year, that current moment. But then as you learn more and like continually improve the results, and we never used to have account managers. We never used to do biweekly phone calls. And so we were lacking like virtually all communication, but you live and learn.
Yeah. Well, you know, everybody has their own growing pains, but if you learn from them and move in the right direction, that's a positive thing. Unlike the plumber who came and screwed up your thing, he didn't kind of make it right to make you put yourself in a situation of writing a positive review, even though you didn't write a negative one, but he should have gone above and beyond the call. Maybe he just doesn't have the mental capacity to do so, but he should have went above and beyond the call to make someone who was unhappy become happy, because that's a true evangelist. Someone that was upset at first and then became more satisfied. So quick story, a guy was on the show months ago, and my avid listeners, I'm sure, are sick of hearing this story, but it resonates because the guy was on his way from Southeast Asia to England, and he had a stopover. From Australia to England, had a stopover in Southeast Asia. He gets off the plane on British Airways, and they tell him he needs a visa to stay overnight because it's an overnight flight. And he's like, what? Nobody told me any of this. So there's a big commotion. The next flight doesn't leave for the next day. He doesn't know what to do. Next to him, the other kiosk is Virgin Airways. And they say, they overhear it, say, come over here, we'll take care of you, blah, blah, blah. You know, they got him on the next flight with no issues, and he's been a Virgin Airways customer ever since.
I've got a story too, similar to that, where you can, making a wrong or right. So mistakes happen, but it's really an opportunity to to, like you said, create a customer for life. And so we, on the printing side of our business, and this goes way back because they've been a client for, I at this point, maybe 15 years, 10, 12, 15, somewhere around there. Life Alert, I'll mention the name, you know, the I've fallen and I can't get up. So they had problems with their, you know, they print like these booklets and brochures, and they had a problem with their printer, and the printer just was like, sorry, we can't fix it. So they found us. I think it was a trade show. I can't remember because it was so long ago. They came to us, and first job, we messed up. And I'm like, oh, you know, it just was bad timing. You know, mistakes happen. But like the first job after she had a bad experience with, I was like, ugh. But we made it right. And because we made it right, we earned her trust. And they've been a client for forever now. And it really set the, it's ironic that making the mistake actually set the stage for a really long, long relationship because of how we handled it.
Yeah. I think it could be an inflection point one way or the other. And I think if you do capitalize on it, like you said, it immediately says to that woman, these people are going to do what it takes to earn my business and make things right. I'm going to stick with them.
Yep, exactly.
So from an internal standpoint, you know, you mentioned the company is 68 years old, I think.
55.
So do you have companies that where you mention innovation and they think it's like a curse word? So these guys were on the print media side, you're trying to get them over to digital and they're just, I can't be bothered. You know, that old school. What do you do in that case?
I mean, we see because on the digital side, we work with a lot of manufacturers. We really see the gamut from because these companies are actually making products. They're making things, widgets, seals, cables, assemblies, all these different random products. It's crazy. Now that we work in this market, it's amazing how many different little businesses there are that make things that we don't even think about, like things that go into a computer or whatever, cars and just everything. It's really crazy. And so we see the gamut where, you know, some clients are very old school that don't even want a CRM for their sales process to other clients that are like really impressive with the way they handle their manufacturing, the quality standards that they put in place, like Sigma 6 and all those types of programs, mm-hmm. the way the assembly line and all the different processes they put in place. It's very impressive. I guess, you know, for us, it's really to answer your question, you know, what do we do about the ones that aren't, you know, when they get to us, because they're thinking about digital marketing, they're already starting to think about, okay, maybe we should do something differently. Maybe we should do marketing. And what does that look like? We just try to tie it back to sales. Like, you know, we try to create an emotional connection. Like, you know, this is your website, you know, it should work for you, turn it into a lead generator, you know, a silent salesperson, if you will. And so we try to tell them like, this is what it could be. Right now you're relying on this. Well, what if we added this additional channel that would bring leads in for you that you're in? And it's hard for them sometimes to envision that because it's completely foreign. They haven't done it before. They can't imagine someone's Googling their random products that will then turn into a lead. Yeah. But nowadays it's any niche has searches happening. So it's possible.
Mm. So let me ask you this, Ryan, in an ideal world, what would your customer loyalty and engagement strategy look like in the future? So doing what you're doing now, but what do you envision the future to be?
Yeah, it's a good question because, you know, like I mentioned the word Kaizen before and how like year one versus now year five were totally different. I'm always trying to think of like, well, right now feels like we're doing good to increase customer loyalty and keep our clients happy. But are we like, what is 3 years from now? I'm probably going to say, oh, it wasn't good enough, you know? So, I mean, for us, it's really communication and transparency. I think, you know, I think if we could figure out a way to increase both of those, I think we're doing a decent job with communication. Like if we're speaking every 2 weeks in between, then the client's not, doesn't want to hear from us every day. Mm-hmm. I think it's more about the transparency. And I think we do a pretty good job there, but I think it could be better. And I think that's what a lot of brands want. A lot of clients and customers want. They want as much, you know, be as transparent as you can. If things aren't working, you know, give us the honest feedback. And I think that will create a deeper relationship for the future as well.
Yeah. I know some other marketing companies are allowing customers to log in to like a client portal where they can see what's happening on their account. You know, see the type of stuff that they're doing with SEO, SEM, click. And it's interesting. I mean, obviously, that's transparency in and of itself. The data is already there. It's not like you have to re-replicate it
or
reproduce it. So it's definitely something to consider. Because like you said, I think people are going to start to become more, not self-service oriented. They still want you to do it, but they like to oversee it. You know what I mean? Especially for someone in the manufacturing space, you know, to know that his widget is creating something in a gear and a cog that's making something else work is probably fascinating for those types of people.
Yeah. And we're even seeing like the manufacturing industrial, they're becoming more sophisticated in understanding digital and wanting to know more and wanting to be involved and wanting their salespeople to be involved. It makes me think that we need something where like our job is to generate leads, but if the leads don't turn into sales, then it doesn't really matter. And so like, what does that look like? Do we have to create a program that ties more directly into sales? So it's different ways to, I guess, slice the pie, but those are the thoughts that are on my mind.
Well, A/B testing, and you can see in quasi real time how it's working, you know, each different type of marketing strategy and angle and channel, you know, which ones produce the results that you're looking for at every level, you know, the click through, the contact form page gets hit and someone fills it out, things like that. But again, like I said, geek tech talk, we could do that all day. But, you know, I know the attention span of our listeners is they're a busy group of people that are marketing and loyalty program entrepreneurs that are managing, you know, small to medium sized and even large companies. But let me ask you this, Ryan, what sort of actionable advice could you give to our listeners that they could implement today to help them attract and retain more customers?
Yes. This is I like this question because this is something that we live and breathe in our own sales efforts and retaining customers. So for us, it starts, attracting, you know, for us, it's really first of all, it's understanding and being clear on who you service best, like who is your target audience. It's not everyone. There are specific segments that you service the best. So being clear on who you service. And then once you're clear on that, how are you going to get in front of them? And once you have their attention, how are you going to get them as a client? And so for us, we've using the word again, Kaizen, continuous improvement. We've done that for our own sales presentation. Like, okay, we're clear on who we speak to. We're clear on how we reach them. Once we get their attention, we have a whole sales process, like a presentation that we take them through, a screen share now, especially now, a whole presentation that's custom to them. We put a lot of effort into it and they see that. And that's helped our close rate, if you want to use that word, a lot. And then once they're a client, going back to what I said before, setting the expectations, making sure that they're crystal clear on what to expect. And then what's coming down, like we start, like here's what's coming up. And then just like I said before, the constant communication, you know, the regular calls, if problems happen, you know, don't shy away from them. Don't run away from them because that's going to hurt you retaining them. They're not going to trust you. And so dealing with problems as they come up and then constantly just showing that you're interested in their business, that you care, you know, care is a big word for us. If they have a question, get back to them, you know, maybe not immediately because we're not on call, but quickly, like within the same day.
Yeah.
And so all those things, it's not like, and it's really not rocket science, but it's hard to do on a day-to-day basis. You know, it's really, especially you have multiple clients, it's hard to like keep that going, but it's really important. So, you know, we do, but it's not easy.
Yeah. Well, if it was easy, everyone would do it. I know that's a little cliche, but you're right. All right. You know, we could talk about this forever, but if listeners want to get a hold of you, Ryan, what's the best way that they could do that for more information?
Yeah. LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn. So Ryan, R-Y-A-N, Cote, C-O-T-E. And then our website is ballantine.com. Ballantine.com. It's B-A-L-L. A-N-T-I-N-E, ballantine.com.
Great. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time and sharing your thoughts and insights with me and our listeners. And I want to thank our listeners for being loyal listeners and investing some of your valuable time with us. If you feel received value from the show, we'd appreciate a 5-star review on your favorite podcast streaming service. If you know someone else who might enjoy listening to the show and receiving value from the podcast as well, please share. That's how we grow. To reference this and other Loyalty Minute episodes, please visit theloyaltyminute.com. Enjoy.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for your next edition of the Loyalty Minute.